So now let's move on because podiatrist Anne-Marie Horgan has joined us in studio. Anne-Marie, welcome first of all.
Thanks for having me.
When I knew you were coming in today, I was thinking about you because this time of year with the weather, you see people with all kinds of crazy footwear on around town and flip-flops and really high sandals and everything. Do you find yourself walking down the street in Tralee and looking at people's feet?
I could open up an open-air clinic, I'd say I'd make a fortune. If I sat myself in the middle of the square, I could pinpoint one out of every whatever person whose gait pattern would be out. But that's actually my busiest time is probably, as in up the walls, is probably September because people are flopping all summer in their sandals and their flip-flops, then the bones move and then they come back in with trouble around September, October.
Yeah,
and they start to go back into shoes.
Okay, so. Absolutely. And I presume, like I do know people, I've seen people who have, what they call flip-flops on all the time during the summer. It can't be good for you to be in something that flat.
No, it'll bring on back problems. It'll bring on, it can affect your knees, your hips, everything. But like the you must think that flip-flop, we'll say that costs whatever, €5, €10, that has to carry your 10 stone. So how is it going to do that? So they, like I think a lot of patients come in the last year, they see footwear as being disposable. So it's kind of go down that route. So they don't see as a, you know, the good Sunday shoe or the trainer that I'll mind or that'll last me now for a year. They don't last. So people are so used to buying lower cost shoes and turning them over very quickly.
Yeah.
And then disposing of them onto the next one.
Yeah, so mind your feet.
Yep.
Okay, well, we better get on to questions because there's a mountain of them in for you already, Anne-Marie. So we'll start with this one. A listener says, I have a severe dose of plantar fasciitis for the last 6 months. I had the laser done over in UHK. Also, I want to know, are orthotics a help because I've tried every other option?
The laser, that's probably the lipotripsate. It's, that's normally for a heel spur. So she's saying she's plantar fasciitis. So a heel spur is bony, plantar fascia, soft tissue. So when somebody goes for laser lipotripsate, it's where it blasts the kind of, we'll say, spur that has formed on the heel. Whereas plantar fasciitis is obviously different. It's soft tissue, but it's still the same symptoms as a heel spur. So I'd say there was a bit of confusion around there. But plantar fasciitis normally is the elastic band underneath your arch that's pulling. So I always kind of say it becomes like a feathered rope and you get little minute kind of tears from stress, trauma, foot type, body weight, job, pregnancy, all these kind of factors will bring it on. So if it becomes inflamed, it doesn't really get a break because you're walking around in it all day, every day. So like orthotics are, I always explain to patients, it's like putting scaffolding under a house or concrete under a house. So if somebody comes in, bones are moving or if their feet have gotten weak, so an orthotic then just basically rotates foot back out, pulls the plantar fascia back up and it stops the stress going on. So 100% orthotics are very good for plantar fasciitis. They're very good for heel spurs as well. But like that, some people would only go through one or two bouts of plantar fasciitis and they might need an orthotic because they mightn't have flat feet. So it's not all orthotics are the end option, but there's other options as well that we would do for plantar fasciitis. But definitely if it's going on 6 months, it sounds like it's biomechanical. It's not like a bout for a week or 2 weeks and it's not going away.
Listener says, do flat feet ever go away? I've had a few episodes of pain and I feel it might be getting worse as I age. Any advice or can particular shoes help? And this is from David in Abbeyfield.
No, see, I always have the kind of patient coming in where, oh, I had, you know, insoles or footwear or orthotics when I was younger and I stopped wearing them because I grew out of them. And then they think then that the flat feet have gone away. Where in actual fact, what happens is because the foundation wasn't propped, then as somebody got old or has gotten older or as they're standing more hours in their job or they might have put on a stone or two or whatever factors, then what happens then is the foot actually starts to kind of creep up on you over the years and then it starts to collapse even more. So do flat feet go away? No, it's like somebody wearing glasses. You're missing a mechanism. So flat feet is a mechanism or a genetic mechanism that you're missing. So like an orthotic or any sort of devices or, you know, whatever, insoles, arch supports, all these, they're all just filling in a piece of Lego that somebody's missing. So like when somebody comes in and they have a mechanical fault, all we do is we just prop up that fault and then you change that device then from shoe to shoe and it's part of you. So it's like somebody putting on glasses and they're normal, exact same. So when they're without their glasses, they're abnormal. So it's the same with feet.
Now we have a query about from a parent who says, my son has two second toes which are crossing over The GP says he'll grow out of it, but he's 14. Can Anne-Marie help in any way, or should I maybe bring him into her from Killarney listener?
The crossing toes normally are a weakness, but like the second, it isn't the second toes that are a problem. Normally it's the big toe that's pushing the second toe out of the way, so that's why it's crossing. So like if it like it's called an overriding digit. So if the second is overriding for, we say whatever, we'll say 10 years of that young fella's life, that's a long time. The longitudinal cord behind has shortened. The toes in that, it can become in a fixed position because it hasn't been moved. So growing out of it, no, I would kind of disagree with that. So there's definitely a secondary weakness going on there, and also what's causing the big toe to push the second toe out of the way. 9 times out of 10 when kids come in, it is they've got a midfoot collapse. So if they've got a midfoot collapse, basically bones then start to shift, and then whatever, toes have to lift up to make space for other toes moving. So like when it comes to that instance, we need to check, is it a fixed toe or a flexible toe? So it's all kind of different types, but I need to figure out first what's the primary cause, and then we'd look then at the toe. So we try and do a fixation device where we put it back into place. Maybe down the line, 18, 19, 20, whatever. No, normally they'd kind of leave it a bit longer. He might need us, we say the joint kind of pinned, where they'll just straighten up the joint. So there's a huge difference between an orthotic appliance and an insole. So an orthotic is always, like I'd always cast anyway, so we do a plaster Paris casting. And then there's different qualities and shells that you can choose for the patient. So like there's a rigid kind of EVA orthotic, so if somebody's standing on their feet all day long and we say they're 12 stone, I'd give them a high quality device because I need that device to last. So if somebody's coming in then and they're doing sport or golfing, I'd have to give them a carbon flex device where there's a spring. So if we're doing any activity, we need a spring in our footstep. So then an insole, then we'll say insoles that you get out of a box, or like some people call orthotics, like the cork insoles that some patients arrive in with, they are not orthotics, they're not corrective, they're just a simple insole, that's all it is. So there's kind of a difference between a kind of a simple insole and a corrective prescription device. So it's the kind of the device, or else it's the prescription. So normally that's kind of easily fixed.
Okay. Listener, this is Dave. We're getting a lot of men onto us today. Dave says, I have a question about a bone under my arch that seems to be bulging out, and wellies are making it a bit sore. I should probably book in to get Anne-Marie to look at it. Where is she based? Well, you can answer the where are you based, first of all.
I have a clinic there in Killarney on Park Road. So it's 9 Oakdale Park Road. It's across the entrance of the big Tesco's, where Marks and Sparks is, just across the road, and in Tralee, then we're at Carsley.
Okay, but he it sounds like you could help him out. Bone under his arch, it seems to be bulging.
Yeah, but he's using wellies or rubber, so there's no support, so he's flopping.
He's flopping,
So if he's wearing wellies for farming or fishermen or whatever he's doing, it's like walking on a bowl of jelly. So obviously bone's going to move. So if there was a weakness there already, that sounds like it's a navicular bone, which is the middle bone. And that's what patients always come in at. That can be quite painful. So the only way it's going to go is drop more. So like I say, with orthotics or anything like that, I always explain it's like putting scaffolding under a house. Not that you do that anyway, but it's like putting concrete under somebody. So Perfect. We just support it back up.
Very good. Okay, we're going to take a quick break at this point, but just to remind people now, we do have a lot of questions already for Anne-Marie, but she's tearing through them fairly lively, so it might be worth trying to get yours heard. 083 300 3300. Back in a moment. Talk about on. Now, Anne-Marie, listener says, I have a leg shorter after a hip replacement last year. Can Anne-Marie help with this? If you could ask her, I feel I need lifting on my left-hand side.
100%. Like, a lot of patients will come in who've had a hip replacement, and they say, oh no, the orthopaedic will say whatever, that, oh, I can straighten that out. And then they kind of figure out, once they get going and get walking, get their lifestyle back, they find they kind of they have that waddle effect. So maybe the husband might comment or the daughter might comment, and then it would start to kind of progress then over time. So like, there's always kind of little questions that I'd ask. So a simple thing like, does the bra strap keep dropping, or, you know, just whatever.
Could be a man, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, maybe he's the wearing a bra, who knows?
It could be. But the like when it comes to anything to do with a leg short or anything, it's as simple as propping it up. So we'd always measure where the discrepancy is, and then obviously I wouldn't just put in, and we'll say if somebody's 10 millimetres, I wouldn't just give them 10 out the door. I'd kind of build that leg back up, so I'd give them half. So I'd give them 50% of a raise, send them away, bring them back, and then add another bit to get them back up to the 100% mark, because you can't just shift. So always with that patient as well, you know, we'd always look at kind of mobility at the hip as well and make sure there's nothing else kind of going on.
Now, a worried parent says, can you ask Anne-Marie for advice on my son's Osgood Schlatters?
Schlatters, yeah.
Schlatters. What are they? Shoes?
No, it's a growth.
What's a growth
problem?
I thought it was a brand
new. You won't make a podiatrist just yet.
I won't, no, I'd be fired. She wants advice on her son's Osgood Schlatters. He's 14 and is off football for 2 months, having physio, but he tried to go back and it's still the same.
Yeah,
so what is that condition?
It's a growth. So basically, you know, when kids have growth spurts and they shoot up. So normally you get an inflammatory kind of response. Some kids can come in where they get a kind of a slight bulging, or we say a kind of an osteophytes in a bony prominence. And then obviously the knee is a hinge joint. So sport, any kind of pivoting like that, sprinting, intervals, anything, it'll bring on then inflammation. But like what I always kind of find with Osgood Schlatters is, patients would kind of go down the physio route and blah, 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 and that's needed anyway. But they'd never kind of go down the biomechanical route. And that's how that young fellow would say it's going on. And at the age of 14, it should kind of settle. But like it can be quite vicious if there's severe inflammation there. So normally icing, rest, whatever, active recovery, we'd look at kind of all those aspects. But when it comes to like any sporting child or kid out there should have their alignment checked if there's any sort of injuries kind of going away, coming back, going away, coming back. So like if there's any kind of, I always say it's a bit like a volcano effect and then it erupts. So like when it comes to Osgood Schlatters, 9 times out of 10 any patients who lands up on my doorstep have a biomechanical problem.
Okay, texter says, I have a bone on the outside of my small toe that gets very sore and burns in my work boots. I have to walk around the house barefoot to relieve it. Any advice?
That's sounds like a tailor's bunion. So it's basically what it is I bet you there's a bunion on the other side as well. But when toes start to move over, bones start to move as well. So we say the fifth bone is the bone on the outside of your foot. And we've natural kind of fibro fat that protects our bony structure. And as that bone starts to bulge, obviously his foot is flattened, so when feet flatten, feet get wider, and then that bone, every time somebody walks we pivot back and forward, and that bone then is just rubbing off the side of the boot. So then I always kind of say to patients, look, if I got my two hands and I rub them together, I create heat. So it's the exact same. If the bone is rubbing off the boot for how many hours a day, you create heat and you get that burning effect. So one, the boot isn't wide enough. The other question I would ask is, why are the bones moving? So we'd always look at the underlying issue, and then we would try and relieve the pressure off the bone to get it settled, put them into correct footwear and maybe put them into an appliance or something just to stabilise and stop anything else from shifting.
This is an interesting one, actually, considering what we were talking about at the start of the slot. Lister says, is the brand Fit Flop good for our feet? They are not dead flat and are quite expensive.
No, I like them. Yeah, I always...
Fit Flops.
There's always, like, for anyone going out of an orthotic device, I'd always give the advice that you need blocks. So if somebody's got two flat tires and they've got flat feet, I need to pump them back up when they go out of the orthotic. So I'd always kind of educate the patient when they come in on sandals that have chunkier blocks at the heel. Now, not like a wedge as in high up, but just like a, whatever, a thicker kind of sole counter. So you're not going back down flat to the ground. So the Fit Flops, they have a sandal range. People don't realise it, but they have a sandal range where you're locked on, and they have a cushioned footbed and they have a nice block, so they stabilise, so they stop anything kind of moving. But yeah, they are. But the ones where you have the piece in the middle, you're flopping the whole time, and then people come in with plantar fasciitis and pains in the bunions and all this in kind of whatever, September, October. But Gabor have a good range as well. Skechers have a good kind of a copy of the Fit Flop, that kind of block. They're nice.
Okay.
But the main thing is they're the ones that are strapped, but there's nice trendy ones online.
Okay. Caller has a permanent pain in her metatarsal bone on her left foot. That looks like an F to me. Metatarsal bone. I wasn't good at science, it's good. On her left foot. She had an MRI scan. What is your opinion? Well, you haven't seen the MRI scan, obviously. So
she has a metatarsal bone?
On her left foot.
What's wrong with it?
A permanent pain in it.
Oh, Oh yeah, so that's just probably the head is dropped. I always explain mesh tarsal heads, they're like your knuckles. So you've got five knuckles on the ball of the foot and they move. So if the bone is hitting off the ground, it can be quite painful. So is it a fracture? Is it a neuroma? Is it whatever? But like if there's a pain in the mesh head, obviously a bone has shifted. So like 9 times out of 10, it's like any patient that kind of comes in with mesh head problems, it's always the second head or the fifth head. So that if the second head has shifted, we'd always build a kind of a plate underneath just to hold, just to basically stop that bone hitting off the ground. So we'd basically lift it up. So when the body weight goes on the bones, we take the pressure off.
So. Okay. And here's another term that I'm not familiar with. The listener says, is there a solution for a neuroma?
Neuroma, yeah.
Next to my big toe. Painkillers and rest aren't helping and it's going on for a bit long now. Any help appreciated?
A neuroma is a compressed nerve. So it's we've nerve bundles in between each digit. And so they're all around our body. So like we need those nerves to feel pain. So if a nerve becomes inflamed, it goes into a little ball and that's called neuroma. So it's changing much quicker than, we'll say, 10 years ago. So what I always look at, we might give them an orthotic device. So we build the plate and try and we could put in a mesh tarsal dome where we take the pressure off that neuroma and try and spread the bones. So just stop it from compressing. Sometimes they might need an orthotic and I would just kind of go down the strapping route. So we'd strap up and then do a kind of division in between the two joints. And then we'd look at kind of the lifestyle. We'd kind of put them into non-weight bearing kind of hobbies or exercise. So try and put them on the bike or put them swimming just to kind of give the foot a break. And then some massage as well and try and just whatever, release that neuroma. That's what it's about. And once it's released, it's fine.
Okay, well, I've learned lots of new terms today about foot conditions. Anne-Marie, we've got to leave it there. Loads of questions that unfortunately we don't have time to get around to, but people can find you. I know you mentioned already where you're based, but no harm to tell us again. Tralee, Killarney.
Yeah, so Tralee, we're based there at Carsley, and in Killarney there, we're there across from Tesco's, on the big Tesco's on the Park Road.
On the Park Road.
Yep.
And you'll be with us again next month.
I will.
All going well. Anne-Marie, thank you very much for
Thanks
that.
Thanks a minute.
And that's Anne-Marie Horgan there from the Tralee and Killarney Podiatry Clinic. If you want to make a